the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's January 7th, 2020. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives. All this information at where? Our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, some podcasts, and on FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base. That is in places like Montreal, Canada, Perth, Australia, Samaria, the province of Samaria, the Russian Federation, and, of course, cities in the good old United States like Seattle, Washington, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And this week, Wichita, you made it back to the top as the largest group of listeners when they go to our programs at the podcast site. When? Later tonight. By the way, folks, we ask you to send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or simply a text to my phone at 316-619-4886. Let us know what city you're hailing from, and especially if we haven't mentioned your city before. Okay, how about that? All right, let's follow us and share us at Twitter. Don't know how long I'll be there until I get kicked off, but that's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer will bring on tonight's guest, and it will be a nice change of pace. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, we got Joel Richardson on tonight, and we'll talk about what books he did. His books are When a Jew Rules the World, Mystery Babylon, Mideast Beast, Islamic Antichrist, co-authored the book God's War on Terror, Islam Prophecy in the Bible with Walid Shubat, The Mystery of Catastrophe. I don't think I missed any, though. He did also a must-see documentary called End Time Eyewitness, The Global Yeshua or Jesus Revolution, The Battle for Jerusalem. Of course, he's made many other DVDs on end times. You can find him at his website, which is joelstrumpet.com. His newest book is a long-awaited book called Sinai to Zion, and I'm so glad to have him on to talk with me about it. Are you there with me, Joel?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's great to be on with you.
Yeah, it's been a little while, but, you know, amen, I'm always looking forward to it. I've been looking forward particular to this book for a long time. I really can say it was quite a surprise. It was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. I left you out there in the air. And the reason it's quite a surprise is I didn't expect, and maybe that's where we could start. Maybe I can talk you into coming back on or whatever. But I was so, okay, I started reading the book, and I got, you know, about 10, 15 pages in, and I had to back up and I had to go get an ink pen, and then I slowly went through the book, and this book looks like a marked up Bible. Back to you.
Yeah, no, I've been excited about it, and I was waiting for it for a long time myself. This definitely took me a few years, which is a lot longer than normal, and I tried to write the shortest book that I've ever written, and it ended up being the longest. but I just couldn't bear to break it up into smaller portions. So it's definitely meaty, and it's got a lot of content. And even to be honest with you, parts of it are a bit of a slog. If you don't love Bible study, it can be a bit of a slog. If you love Bible study, then I think it's going to be a really enjoyable, edifying book.
Yeah, amen. Maybe we'll go into greater detail about the marriage here in a little bit, but first I'd like to comment on one of the things that it really did for me is, you know, I've always been not a pre-trib raptor. I've been, you know, post-trib, you know, and I was kind of shocked when I heard you a while back say that you were, you know, leaning, when you first started saying, well, I'm leaning towards pre-rap. Well, I couldn't get sold on it. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And then after I read the book, and I was already kind of leaning that way, but when you explained it out, the wrath makes sense now to me. And so that was one of the biggest things. I can't say the biggest thing I grasped, because I grasped a lot, but it was one of the biggest things I grasped out of the book. Back to you.
Yeah, the thing with the pre-wrath rapture debate, so to speak, is one of the things, a couple of its strengths are it recognizes that the scriptural story about the rapture, or I'm sorry, the scriptural story of the return of Jesus, it's a complex series of events. That's one of the strengths of the pre-wrath rapture doctrine. It understands that Jesus doesn't just return, snap his fingers, everything is instantly accomplished. There's a very literal carrying out of the victory and the judgments of God and this type of thing. For what it's worth, I would consider myself both pre-wrath and post-trib. I actually believe it's possible to reconcile those two things. There are some elements of the classic pre-wrath position that I don't think I necessarily agree with, the idea that the church is taken up to heaven for a short while and then we come back with him. I would tend to see it more along the lines of the traditional post-trib perspective. He comes back, we're raptured, and then we come with him. But I tend to think that the wrath of God is actually executed after Jesus returns, that he personally executes the judgments and the wrath of God, that he is present, that he is the divine warrior that's executing the wrath of God against his enemies. And I think when we look at that, it helps us to reconcile some of the tensions between those two positions, and it creates a fairly comprehensive picture that aligns with the scriptures.
Yeah, amen. You were talking about, I don't know how I would categorize that, but I've always had a problem with, you know, why I believe in the feast and all that. I've always had a problem with him, with Yeshua taking us and we're going away for a little while. I just figured it was in a twinkling of an eye, we changed. That was basically, you know, and then we came back down, you know what I mean? Right, you know, with him at that moment. I didn't know, a stall in heaven, I don't know how to describe it, but going to the wrath, that really makes a lot of sense. You know, that one scripture, and that's one of the things that makes me, now, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, makes me double look at my King James Bible that I use most of the time, is when you were talking about his hands having hands of fire, that isn't in the King James Bible in that mannerism. And you said that one time on my radio program, and I looked it up, and I was really fascinated. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Deuteronomy 33?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that's fascinating about Deuteronomy 33, this is one of the foundational, most important passages that we look at. It's one of the most important passages in the whole Bible that describes the return of Jesus that so many other passages are built upon. And what's interesting about it, if you were reading the original Hebrew, if you could read Hebrew, and you're reading Deuteronomy 30, 31, 32, it would be like reading, let's just say, the NASB or the ESV, you know, a modern English version. And then you get to Deuteronomy 33, and in the original language, it suddenly is a very ancient Akkadian form of Hebrew. And so I've had, you know, Israelis read in their Bibles Deuteronomy 33, and they go, my gosh, this is really like ancient, ancient Hebrew. And so the reason is, the reason that there's a distinction between the King James and some different translations is translators and interpreters, they have a real difficult time. There's a lot of words in there that they're not quite sure what they mean and this type of thing. So there's quite a variety of different translations, but they some of the differences are cleared up later when we see passages such as Habakkuk 3, Judges 5, Psalm 68, and they reflect some of the language that's in Deuteronomy 33, and so we understand what Deuteronomy 33 is saying based on how the Hebrew prophets understood it, how they reflected it later. I mean, it might be slightly different, but we see, for example, in Habakkuk 3, it says rays are shooting out of his hands. Well, in the King James, it says horns come out of his hands. You go, what? What do you mean he's got horns? You know, like, what's this talking about? Well, you know, the rays aligns better with the idea of lightning or fire shooting out of his hands in Deuteronomy 33, as opposed to some translations which say, at his right hand is a fiery law. It's a very different, very different translation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that it would do, and I pray people that really like Bible study and can, you know, just relax basically a lot of what they've already learned when they look at it is the fact that in general, you know, I guess you could call it the pre-trib rapture. You know, a lot of them believe, or most seem to believe, that when Jesus or Yeshua comes back, then, you know, yeah, they're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, but they think it's, you know, Armageddon, it's all over with, all off to heaven. And, you know, they don't understand this time period of the march and then what happens after. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is the concept, I think, that's the most exciting, most, you know, the aha stuff of the book, the most revolutionary, is I lay out that the Old Testament clearly describes the return of Jesus. Now, it describes it saying that Yahweh, God Almighty, is coming back from heaven. And so this idea, it begins, as I said, in Deuteronomy 33. And when you really tease out Deuteronomy 33, you have a handful of incredibly important themes that emerge from that passage. You have Yahweh, God Almighty, coming from heaven in anthropomorphic form. So he's in the form of a man. He's marching. First, he comes from heaven in the clouds. It says there is none in verse 26. There is none like the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun, of course, just means my upright ones. It's a pet name for Israel. So it's essentially saying there's no God like the God of Israel, who comes in the skies to save you or to your aid, and on the clouds in his majesty. There's no God like the God of Israel who rides upon the clouds. Now, for what it's worth, the Canaanites, the pagans in the land, they worship Baal, and they referred to Baal as the cloud rider because he's the storm god. And, of course, the Jews are like, your God, you call him the cloud rider, but no, listen, Yahweh is the only cloud rider, and we don't just say that. We've seen him. We followed him. We followed the pillar of cloud. We saw it with our eyes. It was, you know, fire at night, cloud by day. And our God really does ride upon the clouds. And so it was a polemic against Baal, but it was a declaration of the superiority of Yahweh. But again, so you've got these themes. Yahweh comes from heaven in anthropomorphic form on the clouds from myriads, or it says from myriads of his holy ones. And he comes to save his people and execute judgment against Israel's enemies. And it describes lightning shooting out of his hands and this type of thing. So when you put that all together, the New Testament clearly, and he's shining. It says he's radiating and shining like the rising of the sun. He's dawning on them from the south. And that's where the New Testament gets the concept where Jesus describes his own return. He says, in that day the Son of Man will come in the Father's glory. When he says he's going to come in glory, he's just drawing from that language that begins in Deuteronomy 33 of Yahweh coming from heaven, shining like the sun on the clouds, executing vengeance against his enemies, etc. These are all concepts that are applied to the return of Yeshua in the New Testament. That's how Yeshua describes it. That's how Paul describes it. That's how Peter and John describe it. They draw from Deuteronomy 33. And so it goes on, and it describes this. It's a royal procession. It's a holy, royal, divine procession where God is marching through the desert from the south as the greater Moses, leading the greater Exodus, the ultimate or the final Exodus. He's literally setting people free. He's delivering his people from prison camps. He's setting them free from the imprisonment of the armies of the Antichrist. Judgments of God are being poured out. Kings of armies are fleeing and this type of thing. And in the midst of it all, there's singing and worshiping. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture that most Christians are not familiar with. But it was well known, it was widely understood and expected in the first century that the Messiah would come from the south, come from the desert. And we see that reflected in the writings of Josephus. And we see it in the New Testament, in the teachings of Jesus, where he's hinting at this. That there was this expectation that the Messiah would come from the desert, and that expectation is rooted in the Old Testament prophecies. And as I said, most Christians just, they're not familiar with the story, but it's clearly there throughout the Old Testament, and it's reflected in the New.
Well, right, absolutely. And, you know, this, you know, I can't think of, you know, just in general offhand, except for maybe a few people that I know are Messianic in faith, you know, or Hebrew roots once in a great while, but really nobody that I know over here in Kansas, you know, has this concept, you know, what I'm saying. They just don't get it. You know, it's like they all return to Jerusalem, you know, the Mount of Olives and everything, and, you know, it's over with from there basically in a split second. But this makes a lot of sense when all the passages that you give that go through line up that way. One of the New Testament things that points to this, how else would he get a vesture dripped in blood? What do you think about that? That fit in?
Yeah, I mean, so Isaiah 63 is one of these passages. I call them the desert prophecies. Some scholars refer to them as the wilderness traditions. But there are these various passages that describe Yahweh, God, marching from the south, from the region of Edom, of Bozra, coming from Sinai, from Mount Paran, from Seir, from that region. And in Isaiah 63 in particular, you know, he's soaked in blood. He specifically says he's soaked his robes with the blood of his enemies. He says, I tread them in my wrath, and all their blood spattered my garments. Well, you clearly see that that imagery reflected in Revelation 19. Where his robes are soaked in blood. Of course, you know, he doesn't just return from heaven and he's already soaked in the blood of his enemies. There's a process of that taking place. And so, yeah, these ideas are clearly reflected. But see, here's what happens is Christians will often, they'll say stuff like this. They'll say, well, where's that in the New Testament? As if it being everywhere in the Old Testament is not enough. And the problem is Jesus and the apostles, they didn't always elaborate on every single thing because their Bible already lays it out. They didn't feel the need to reiterate everything as if you have to only include it in the New Testament. It's only valid if it's included in the New Testament. Their Bibles, which was the Old Testament only, already lays this stuff out and describes it in great detail. So the New Testament, it reflects these things, these concepts. We can see it. If we mine it out, if we make the connections, but it doesn't always lay it out clearly. It is there, but it's not always clear. And for that reason, a lot of Christians just, you know, they're not Old Testament literate. They're not really familiar with the Old Testament and the prophets, so they miss it.
Well, sad to say, and, you know, there's a huge number. In fact, this has been 15 years ago. I went to this thing by Kingdom Ministries, and they wanted me to buy their tapes, you know what I'm saying, and they treated us to a dinner, and they were coming up with stats and telling us while we were eating our dinner, you know, why we needed to buy the Bible on audio, right? And they told me I about choked on my food. Back then, about 15 years ago, it was only like about, it was less than, I think, 15% of the people in America had actually even read their New Testament but proclaimed to be Christian. They went to church and everything, but they just read what was given to them. And so if you have that percentage of people just reading the New Testament, my first thought that went to me, I went, wow, I'm going to quit complaining about them never reading the Old Testament or not even reading the New Testament. Anyway, well, hey, we got about a minute and a half before we go to break. Where can they find the book, and what else you got over there at your website? I guess that's where you find it. Anyway.
Yeah, so the hardcover, I'm only selling it on my website store, which is joelstrumpet.com. If you, I give away, there's free PDF files on my website. If you want to just read the digital version, get it for free. But the Kindle version is on Amazon, and pretty soon the audio version will be on Amazon as well. But if you want the book or just the free PDF file, that's at joelstrumpet.com.
Yeah, amen. And folks, now we've got about a half a minute, but what do you have for free over there? I tell the folks, it really shocks a lot of people.
Well, I do. I put all my books up for free, and I've been working this year, or I've been working the past few years to translate as many books into different languages as possible. And so whenever I do that, I put up most of them all for free. There's a few languages like Portuguese that they don't put up the free version, but that's okay. So I put up several new translations recently. I've got several in the works, and I just put them all up as PDF files. And so my copyright is that you have the right and the freedom to copy it and share it as freely as you want.
Amen. Amen. I used to hear people laugh about it all the time. You said, well, they're selling the gospel. We sure can't say that about you. Okay, folks, we got to go. JoelsTrumpet.com, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Sun worship has always been the basis of religious activity. which opposes the true worship of the biblical creator. The purpose of these segments, entitled Just the Facts, is to examine various aspects of sun worship and its influence upon the gradual falling away from the example set by Jesus, taught by his disciples, and practiced by the believers of the first century. While we hope that you find these brief segments informative and thought-provoking, it is impossible to expose the depth of the deception that has taken place in such short periods of time. For this reason, I would like to make you aware of more complete documentation which is available to you. I have written down the words of a book entitled Too Long in the Sun. The book contains a more complete documentation in a simple, easy-to-read format of the apostasy of the last days, which was prophesied by both the Old and New Testament. The book traces pagan sun worship through the various civilizations of history and right on through present day. It documents from an historical and biblical standpoint the fact that what the Bible calls the ways of the heathen must still be dealt with today. A short 28-page summary of the book is also available, along with a one-hour audio tape version of the summary. Finally, a one-hour video presentation of Too Long in the Sun is offered as a free gift for those purchasing three of the larger 256-page books. This video includes pictures and video segments from around the world, which verify in a powerful and undeniable way what is being presented. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we've been around a little while. We've been around actually almost 21 years. Come June, we will start our 22nd year in the Wichita Mission Church. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us to the Mission Church. Men, women, children from all walks of life who've had a bad break and come to us for help. And folks, that dinner line is getting so much bigger and bigger. We need your help to stock back up. We got less than a month's worth of food, so we need you to pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. The Father notices all donations that come from your heart, so pray about it. That's what we want you to do first. All donations don't matter, no matter what size, but the ones that come from your heart, that's the best ones. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as we know you enjoy and learn from our radio guests, and radio isn't free, and donations keep us on the air. Now you can donate online or mail a check or money order and give all that information over the telephone, or you can simply find us at prophecyhour.com, and there's a link there to donate right online. And now we're back with Joel Richardson, and I doubt if he's left us. Have you left us, Joel?
I have not left you, Pastor Dan.
Okay. Hey, I got to ask a question for my wife while I'm thinking about it. Reading that book, she says, I need to know one thing from Joel. Do I still get to ride a horse? You see, she has it figured out when Yeshua comes back, he's going to teach her how to ride a horse. So is that going to be part of the procession?
Sure, why not? What's interesting is it says, the Holy Ones are riding on horses. But what's interesting is within this story, at times it describes him and it describes us riding horses, and at other times it says we're riding chariots. So, exactly precisely what it's going to be, I'm not quite sure. Maybe we get to choose, but it's interesting that it sort of seems to interchange the two concepts. At times, the Lord is riding on, and his Holy Ones come on myriads of chariots. And then in other passages, it says on horses.
Joel, we're just having too much. I can't hear you, so we're going to have to let you go and call you back or reschedule with you because I just can't hear you. And folks, over there in Radio Land, we'll have to come right back. We'll fix the problem, and we'll be right back. Y'all be blessed.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Perilous times I know are here, men's hearts failing because of fear. But here's one thing I know is clear, my Lord is in control.
Sun worship has always been the basis of religious activity, which opposes the true worship of the biblical Creator. The purpose of these segments, entitled Just the Facts, is to examine various aspects of sun worship and its influence upon the gradual falling away from the example set by Jesus, taught by His disciples, and practiced by the believers of the first century. While we hope that you find these brief segments informative and thought-provoking, it is impossible to expose the depth of the deception that has taken place in such short periods of time. For this reason, I would like to make you aware of more complete documentation which is available to you. I have written down the words of a book entitled Too Long in the Sun. The book contains a more complete documentation in a simple, easy-to-read format of the apostasy of the last days, which was prophesied by both the Old and New Testament. The book traces pagan sun worship through the various civilizations of history and right on through present day. It documents from an historical and biblical standpoint the fact that what the Bible calls the ways of the heathen must still be dealt with today. A short 28-page summary of the book is also available, along with a one-hour audio tape version of the summary. Finally, a one-hour video presentation of Too Long in the Sun is offered as a free gift for those purchasing three of the larger 256-page books. This video includes pictures and video segments from around the world which verify in a powerful and undeniable way what is being presented. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Through this thing with no sound, you know, to my ears. We had a headset problem, and that was my son back there telling me, headset problem, because I don't know whether it's a cord wore out or it's my headset. We're going to find out shortly, but anyway, let's go to that. So what do we want to talk about? That was a really good program with Joel Richardson on Sinai to Zion, and I will get him back on to finish talking about the book. With it coming like that, you know, it was not a good thing. Anyway, it was not a good thing. I could not hear him speak, and so, yeah, now my producer's telling me, it doesn't matter. We'll do it after radio, son, because I'm talking to my son, folks, because he's not coming back on, so we have no sound to tell if it's working or not. Anyway, move on. So we'll talk about a couple of things that's important. Number one, let me give you another brief about this book. This book is a fantastic book, and it lays out a lot of scriptures into what's going on. It also tells you about the marriage covenant at Mount Sinai and what it meant by Israel to be divorced or not divorced. It puts all of those things into this book where you can understand it. In fact, like I told Joel, when I first read the book, I started reading it, and then I went backwards and marked everything in the book. And I haven't marked it all yet because there's so much in it. It is really a must-get-to book. It'll explain to you concepts like what we were talking about. I always thought, you know, the Bible went tribulation and then immediately went, after the tribulation, went directly into the wrath of Yahweh. But you can see by the way that it's laid out in the book that that's just not really what the scriptures are saying, and it's not what they're telling you. Yeshua himself is doing the wrath of Yahweh. That's what he is doing when he comes back on the procession that comes up out of Mount Sinai. And so it is a really fantastic book. It's something that you should definitely get your hands on. I guarantee it. Now you can get it, you can buy a copy at Joel's website, because that's the only place he's selling hardback covers. You can get it on Kindle, or you can get it of audiobook soon. Kindle's already ready. Audiobook soon, coming soon. But anyway, but we're going to switch gears now. We're going to talk a little bit. We've got probably of actual talking time, about 7 or 8 minutes left of this program, you know, because we go out at 56 minutes. After 57, we tell out. By 58, we're out. So I'm going to talk to you about something else. Well, I'm going to talk to you about the seriousness of what's going on in this nation right now. We saw, my wife was crying on the first radio program. She was crying because she said Trump gave up. He dropped the lawsuit in Georgia. Those lawsuits have no consequence now. Even if they were to win those after the election, they're not going to unseat Biden. The world has put almost everything up against this man. He didn't abandon you. He didn't leave you. They're trying to talk about using Insurrection Act against him. They're talking about wanting to arrest him. They're talking about wanting to impeach him. It isn't good enough that they just have him going away and that he said, would you please, there will be a good transition of power. There will be an easy transition. This is not even good enough for those snakes. They are afraid of him. They don't want him to come back, and they don't want anybody ever else to do it to them again. You see, this put them behind in their agenda. They're 4 years behind. Hillary was supposed to take over, and America would have been completely destroyed, so to speak. It would have been taken over by China. It almost is already. But you're going to see our military resin. This is going to be so terrible for this country. But, folks, we have to expect that. Why do we have to expect it? Because we're in the time of the end. It's not going to be peaches and cream and keep being put off for another generation. That's what's going on. It's what's going on right now. So you just need to get yourself ready for it. You need to get your family ready. You need to be ready. And out from your family, you need to convince others that the one thing that is important and the person that you should count on is Yeshua. I don't know. Maybe this nation put too much faith in Donald Trump and not enough faith at the fact that he was put there by Yahweh to give us a break and to be a great revealing and to be a blessing to Israel to get this peace process started. But now, I don't know. I don't know where we're at with this. I do know we're in the time of the end. I know you need to be about the Father's business. That's the most important thing. You need to be, it says, the same that shall endure to the end, those same shall be saved. You need to endure. You need to be ready for what's coming. And coming it is, or is already here. You realize that they want no genders. You realize that they don't even want you out of your house. They're talking about locking everything down again. That's just a short period of time away, a matter of days. A matter of days, and they'll lock you down again. Yeah, they might give you some other money, and it'll buy a bunch of people off. Oh, $2,000 a piece. Wow, let's do that. They want to shut business down. They want to shut everything down. They want to control you. That's what they're going to do. They're already doing it in places like California and other places. Stopping church, stopping things from happening. So, you need to be prepared. You had 4 years to be prepared, and we said that too. We thought that he would get another term, but we said that. It all depends on our repentance. Our repentance. Was it good enough? It may have very well been, because he loves us so much he puts us in tribulation, because don't you understand that's how he changes you, by putting you in the fire? He doesn't change. If you're getting riches and everything is comfortable, what do you have need of him for? And then you won't pray to him. You won't change your wicked ways. All our wicked ways just won't change. So he puts you in the fire because he loves you. He puts you there so that you'll change. It would be nice if you could do it yourself, or we could do it to ourselves, but so often not, we can't. You need to pray for our president. After all, they are trying to do what things they can to him. Anything that they can. So, you need to really, really pray for your president. You need to pray for your family. But, you know, yeah, and like Frank pointed out, my wonderful producer over there, he said, gold doesn't throw itself in the fire to become pure. No, it doesn't, Frank. No, it doesn't. You got to be put into the fire. You don't do it on your own. I never see it quite brought up that way, but that's a fact. And, folks, we are being put into the fire. So will you endure to the end? Or will you try to get out of the fire prematurely before you're done? What's going to be your story? And even let's say that I'm wrong about the time of the end. Fire does change you. But even our forefathers said the blood of the land, you know, freedom has to be tendered every once in a while with the blood of patriots. So does that mean that we're going to stand up and fight for our nation? I personally believe that civil war is coming. Not that I'm going to be the one to run out there and instigate it. The fire has already started. Because all these people that have been buying guns and such, they're not going to just give them up and give up all their ammunition. Are you kidding me? there are people here that will really, really fight. And not this kind of thing that the Antifa does. I seen a thing on Lynn Wood's page that was talking about that once you pull these guys' strings, these ex-military veterans and these people, and you make them believe their freedom's being taken care of, they're going to fight until it's done or until they're done. And you'll probably see the power of the world come against them. Sad, the military is going to be corrupt again. You're going to see all kinds of genders in it and so on and so forth. You're going to defund it again. Our nuclear weapon stockpile will go down. All that is over with these Democrats in. Unless we fight hard. We could fight really hard and win. I don't know. But I think you ought to fight the spiritual battle. I think you ought to get right with Yeshua. I think you ought to get right with the Son and the Father. You only get right with the Father through the Son by accepting Him as your Savior. He has to be the one that saves you. And when He saves you, you can't continue on in sin. You have to change your wicked ways. You can't just stay doing the same old things. So you need to pray about these things. This is probably the most serious place that you've been in your lives and in your generation. Because right now, unless you stand in the breach, whether it be in prayer or with your body, whatever, this country's not going to stand, and the world will follow suit. You realize that the world will follow the suit of the way America goes, for the most part. So you need to really pray. You need to pray really hard. You need to stand up and do what's right. You need to be the person that does what's right. Can't just sit back. You got to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. You got to do it. You can't just be a Facebook warrior or a Twitter warrior. After all, they're getting rid of you anyway. Can't be a parlor warrior. You got to get out there and do something. You let your voice be heard. And if you are on those platforms, you got to let your voice be heard. Think about it. Pray about it. Get right now before it's too late. Wow, I've said that before, I think. But you got to get right now before it's too late. Tomorrow, death could come any minute from now. So you need to be right. Well, I'm going to have to let you go. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father would bless and keep you, and that His face would shine upon you, and that He would be gracious to you, and that He would give you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.